Good evening. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, because it's not just a book, it's power. It's your power over us. Your word created everything, just like we were singing. Send it forth, Lord, so it will keep on creating things in our lives. Let your word be in our spirits and in our bodies. And wherever we go, that your word keeps on shining and creating more and more life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have an awesome God. And awesome is like a so-so word for him. He's way more than awesome. He's, yes. I love God so much. Well, it all starts with a thought. Say it with me. It all starts with a thought. Tell the person next to you, it all starts with a thought. As a matter of fact, this message started with a thought. And I just got thinking about that, you know, a thought. Yes, it all starts with a thought, an idea. And, you know, it is in our power to develop that thought, yes, exactly. To give it life, or to toss it and to get rid of it. It's our decision. It's in our power. A thought comes, good or bad, and we decide what to do with it. It can be a positive and a good thought, and we can feed on it, we can meditate on it, we can develop it, like I said, let it grow and eat from it and also feed others from it. Yeah. And all that sounds great, but, and sadly there's a but, we all get negative thoughts as well, right? Sorry. They all come. I heard one teaching a while ago, like a year ago, and I think they said that 80,000 thoughts come through our mind daily. 80,000 thoughts come through our mind daily. I mean, we are bombarded all day. I mean, even in our sleep or not sleep, you know, there's times that I hate it. I hate when that happens. I'm sleeping really comfortable and nice, and suddenly just something comes and I'm just wide awake, and I just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going, and I'm like, no, I want to sleep. And it just, you know, yeah, it gets bad. And just, you know, thinking about all the things you have to do, all the things you didn't do, just it goes on and on and on and on. So we decide what we do with those thoughts. Yes, thank you. So like I was saying, the negative thoughts that come to our mind, they obviously all come from our enemy, the devil. They all come from the devil. And so we all know John 10:10, the thief's purpose is one version, or only comes to steal and kill and destroy. So it's not one or the other, or no. Choose from which one. No. He comes, and his only purpose, and he only comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's how it says in all the versions, and. But God says, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life to the full. And another version says, more abundantly. And we're going to be looking at that in a little bit later. But I want to talk about, three things that we need to know about our enemy, the devil. And number one is that he's attacking us, but he's really coming against God. We are his target. I mean, he comes against us. He comes and attacks us, but his target, and he's going against God. And I would like to say that this good revelation was from me, but no, it was from Louis Giglio. But God had been speaking to me about this, and I love that. And I was like, that's true, you know? When they say, it hurt my son, it hurt my daughter, but it didn't hurt as much as it hurt me. You know, when they attack your kids, it hurts you more. You always, if your kid has a fever, you are like, I wish I have it, not him. You know, it's, you want to go through it, not your kids. Well, that's for normal parents, because nowadays there's some parents that, well, anyways, we're not going to talk about that. So we are God's children, and he knows, the devil knows how much God loves us, and he knows how much God cares about us. So God doesn't want to see us hurting. He already did everything that needed to be done so that we wouldn't be hurting. So the devil is trying to get even with God. So he's coming after us. So number one, he's attacking us, but he's really coming against the devil. Number two, he's a deceiver. And deception is dangerous because it is deceiving. You know, it doesn't sound very profound, but, you know, deception is dangerous because it is deceiving. Once you are deceived, you don't know you are deceived. And only God can convince you of that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that he dresses or disguises himself as an angel of light, the devil, Satan. He disguises himself or dresses as an angel of light. So he can come to deceive us. He can come. You know, normally people think like the devil is going to come dressed in red with a tail and horns and a fork and stick his tongue out at you. But it's not. Sometimes it is, but normally it seems inoffensive. It seems, it appears to be good. You know, he came dressed as an angel of light. So we need to be careful not to be deceived. We need to be careful to see if that angel of light is the devil or what it is. Because he comes, he's a deceiver. We need to be careful and watchful for when he appears in a scene. Number three, he is on the watch for the cracks. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Second Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. Yes, it must be First Peter. I was just wanting to see if you were paying attention. I don't want you guys to fall asleep, so I'm sending some curveballs so you to see if you're with me. Yes. Okay, so it says, stay alert, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And I like verse 9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So it says that he comes, he's like a lion. And you know, I don't know, you see, I forgot what the channel is with the animals, but you know, you see the lion, you see the lion that he's watching over his, you know, when he wants to get his, thank you. So, yeah, your guys are with me, good. So he's wanting to devour. And so the devil is like that. He's watching our every move. He's watching our words. He's watching us. He's on the watch to see whatever door, window, or crack we may open to him to come in and make himself at home. So he is watching. He wants to devour us. He knows that he doesn't have the power. He knows that he is defeated, but he still has time to come and deceive and to get us. He wants, like I said, he wants to get even with God. So he wants to attack us. He wants to hurt God. So he is watching for the cracks. And if we have, you know, the smidge that we can give him, that eat a little bit. You know, I hate at home. We have screen thingies in the windows. Yeah, screens. So sometimes I don't know if I want to open the window or not, because the screen is good for nothing, because there's like little pieces where the bugs come in. So the screen is good for nothing. The screen is well done. It doesn't have holes, but around somewhere. And they come, just they find a way and they come in, and then there's bugs everywhere. So the same way the devil, he wants to find a crack. So we need some spiritual plaster for our lives. So there's no cracks for him to get in, because he's gonna look, you know, like rats also. They look where and they get. Even if it doesn't seem like the hole is big enough, they will get in. So those three things we need to know about the devil. He is coming against God, not against you. He is a deceiver, and he's looking for cracks in our lives. And all this is not for us to be afraid. It's not for fear. This is for us to be aware and know our enemy. The enemy has no authority or territory in our lives, but the one that we ourselves give him and allow him to have. If we give him entrance, if we allow him, he will come in. He will come and he will sit and take over everything. So that's why we need to watch for cracks and not to be deceived. You know, he came and tried first with Jesus, the Son of God. He came and he tried to tempt it, and he even used the Word of God. So knowing the Word of God is not good enough for us. We need to have the Spirit. We have the Spirit inside, but we need to stir it. The same way Jesus came strong, because he had the Spirit of God inside of him. And he knew the Word. So even though the devil was quoting the Word, he wasn't able to deceive him. So the same way, you know, the same authority that Jesus has, we have been given. That's why he died and he rose again. And before he left, he gave us that authority. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave it to them, and then they gave it to the devil. And when Jesus came, he took it and he gave it back to us. Yes. So, and also the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. So I loved an example that John Bevere gave in a teaching he was teaching. And can I borrow this?
Yeah.
So, for example, we see Pastor Kevin here, right? And so, well, this is not big enough, but you see his head and you're just like, oh, look. You know, if he's walking through a very short wall, you see him. You see, you know, oh, there's Pastor Kevin, right? And then you don't see his body. But then if you see Pastor Kevin's body, but you don't see his face, you don't say, oh, no, that's not Pastor Kevin. That's, I don't know, Fernando, right? It's,
yeah.
The head is attached to the body. And so the same authority that the head has, the body has, right? There's no distinction. The same way Christ is the head, the church is the body, and that authority is in our lives. We have the same authority that Jesus has. If we are submitted to God. We need to be submitted to God. I don't want you to live here and say, oh, I have authority. And then, you know, there was some people in the Bible that were trying to cast out demons. And they say, we know Jesus, but who are you? Because they were not submitted. They didn't have the authority. They thought they had it, but they were not submitted. So we have the authority if we are submitted under God and under spiritual authorities too. Matthew 28:18. Jesus, before leaving, he's telling his disciples, and we are his disciples. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So that authority that Jesus took, that it was all that I said right now, but it is in the Bible. He got all the authority and it has given to him, and he gave it to us. Like I said, we are his body. So we are part of Jesus. James chapter 4. I just want you to see that I'm not making up things. It's in the Bible. James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And there's another version that says, he must flee from you. So if we submit to God, we resist the devil, and he must go. And those thoughts must go. I know I started talking about thoughts, and yes, we're staying in thoughts, but that's our battle, our mind. That's where the devil comes to our mind. He brings thoughts, he brings negative thoughts. Second Corinthians 2:16, it says that we have the mind of Christ. So our mind must be governed and guided by Christ, by Christ's thoughts. We have the mind of Christ. So every time a thought comes to our mind, we need to take that thought and evaluate the source. Where is that thought coming from? The 80,000 thoughts I get in the day, where are they coming from? Jeremiah 29:11. We all know it, but, well, I hope we all know it. Jeremiah 29:11. says, "For I know the plans," and another version says, "the thoughts I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans and they are thoughts for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So that's the kind of thoughts that God has for us. Thoughts of good, thoughts of hope, not of disaster. So if disaster is coming, then we need to get rid of it and toss it immediately. Philippians 4:8. Says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." So again, where or who is the thought coming from? Is it God or is it from the devil? There's no other source. It's either God or either the devil. And this is also for our daily life. You know, there's thoughts that come to our mind that don't need to be shared sometimes. You know, there's been times that I think of funny jokes but there are things that are not edifying. And so there's times that I fight with my flesh, I guess I should say, because it's like probably to make fun of someone. That is, it can seem inoffensive, you know, it's just a joke, a tease. But if it's not edifying and if it's not going to build up that person, and if other people are going to make fun, then who is that thought coming from? You know, we are supposed to build others up, not to bully them, although it's fun, but is it fun for the person? Sometimes the person even laughs and stuff, but I mean, I have experienced that I laugh because everyone is laughing, but really inside it's not funny, right? Yes, so we need, seriously, I know probably this seems like that's an exaggeration, Denise. Well, is it? I don't know. We need to think about it. You know, there's times that I, like I said, fight with myself, like, it's a good one. But it's like, but you don't need to share it, you know? You don't need to say it. And I'm just like, okay, no. And I rather, you know, that glorifies God. What he does, what other, you know, what no one else sees or no one, it blesses God. It glorifies God. So there's no other source. It's either from God or it's from the devil. Is this thought giving me hope and peace? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it good report? Virtuous? Praiseworthy? Right? Admirable? Excellent? If it's not, then what do I need to do with it? Do I keep it? Do I develop it? Do I meditate on it, or do I get rid of it immediately? Immediately. I have it with capitals, immediately. Because many times we don't want to get rid of it. We kind of like, you know, go around it for a little while, and then it's like, okay, no, I'm just going to, you know, immediately, because then it grows. Okay, now let's go to John 10. John chapter 10. We're going to go more deep into that verse 10. Where is that verse 10 coming from? And I'm going to read it from the King James, so please bear with me. starting in verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I said unto you, he that entered not by the door into that sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter or the gatekeeper open, and the sheep hear his voice, and he call his own sheep by name and lead them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. So the disciples didn't understand what Jesus spoke. Then Jesus say unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief come not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I mean, probably you're thinking, why did you read it in the King James? Well, because I was looking at some of the words in Hebrew, and I want to share that with you. And probably you think, Denise, all these verses are speaking about salvation, and we are all saved here. We have all gave our lives to Jesus. But salvation is not just giving our lives to Jesus and not going to hell. Salvation, the word salvation in Hebrew, it means to deliver, to protect, to be saved, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole, or restore. And I don't know if we need, I don't know about you, but I need every day to be delivered, I need protection, I need to be saved, I need to be healed. So we all need every day salvation. We have been saved, but every day, again, we need salvation. So that's why. So the words in Hebrew that called for my attention. Number one, well, was verily. It means firm. It means trustworthy, surely, and so be it. And so he's saying it twice, and then what he explains it to the disciples, he says it again twice. So he's being firm about this, and he's also saying that his words are trustworthy and that they are sure and that they will be done. The other word that I really liked was enter. And, well, we all know it means come in or into, and it means to go through. But my favorite and the first one was to arise. And we all know Isaiah. Well, let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Sorry, it's because I had it since verse 3, but I think I read it in another version. But it says, verse 3 says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. And then verse 6 says, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. That doesn't have anything to do with the message, but it's good. And then the verses I wanted to focus on is verse 8 and 9. My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And that's what I really thought about when I saw that word enter, to arise. If we want to enter to Jesus, if we want to enter through him, we cannot be thinking the same way we're thinking. We cannot be in the same level we are. We need to arise in order to enter, because his thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. And I love that that word really spoke to me, how it, in the Hebrew it is to arise. We cannot enter the same way that we are living right now. We need to arise. Then the other word was cheap. And I thought it was very interesting. It's the same definition for cheap and for cheap hold, or whatever that word was. It's something that walks forward. That's the definition for cheap in the Hebrew. Something that walks forward. And we are all cheap. We are his cheap. And so we ought to move forward and to walk forward, not to go backwards and not to move to another direction, but just forward. Yes, I like that. I was like, it's good. The next one that was hear. To hear is to give in. So whatever thought we hear, we are giving into that. Then to know, because he was talking about hearing his voice and about knowing his voice. He said that his sheep know his voice. And to know is to be aware, to be sure, and to understand. So we need to know, we need to be aware of the thoughts we're having. And if we give in to that thought, we need to be aware of what is that we're giving into, what we are understanding, and we need to be sure about what we are doing. The next one is abundant. And I love this one. It's a lot. It's a lot, but that's how abundant is. That is the life that God wants us to live. He's, that is a life that he came to give us. And the meaning is, and I know all these words I said there in Hebrew, and I didn't bother to give you the Hebrew because we wouldn't remember, and it doesn't matter. What matters is the meaning. So in the sense of beyond, super abundant in quantity, or superior in quality. By implication, excessive. Preeminence, exceeding abundantly above. That's preeminence. Exceeding abundantly above. More abundantly advantage. Very highly and beyond measure. All that is the definition. Well, there were some others, but this, all that is the definition of abundance, of that word that he has come to give us abundant life. So he wants us to be living this kind of life. That's what he paid for us, to be living super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. To have preeminence exceeding abundantly above. I mean, I don't know, but this is mind-blowing to me. It's this is what he died for us to have. Amen. And the devil wants to come and steal and kill and destroy, but he has come to give us this kind of life, this abundant life. But he is the door. And everything needs to be passed through him. We need to pass through him. How many times we don't pass things through him because we think, assume, or consider that it's not important enough to pass it through him. I used to get upset when I would want to go to Obregón and Eric, or to whatever trip, a conference or whatever, and Eric would be like, well, we need to pray about it. And I would be like, why wouldn't God want me to go? I was like, why do I need to pray about it? And it's right. My life is not my own. If I make God my Lord, he is the boss, not me. And so it doesn't matter if it seems dumb, if it seems insignificant, if it's whatever it may be. We need to pass it all through him. He is the door. And if we want that kind of blessing and walk forward and follow him, we need to pass it through him. Otherwise, if I think that I don't need to pass this, whatever it may be, through God, it means that I'm going my own way, and basically I'm jumping the fence or going through my own door, my own way. I had an experience with this. I liked how the piercing in the nose looks, and it's silly. Same thing, it's silly. And there's a verse in the Bible, I don't know where it is, but Pastor Kevin had showed it to me, that God puts stones in our nose to seal us. And so after the fact that I had one, and after I did it, I thought, oh, that's going to be my verse for it. That's going to be my reason for why I did it. And I know this sounds very stupid, but when I went to the place to get it done, I felt very uncomfortable. It was nasty, but I still did it because I wanted to do it. And my brother was talking with a prophet. She studies a lot and knows a lot of things. And she was telling my brother that our skin, and well, our eyes, our ears, our doors, their gates, and that when you get a tattoo or a piercing, you are opening a door through your skin, and you are basically doing a blood pact covenant with the guy that is doing that. And I was like, my Lord and Savior Jesus. I was like, oh. And immediately the verse that came to me was Hosea 4:6. And it says, my people lack for lack of knowledge. And it's talking about his people. Us. And how many times, that's what I was thinking, you know, God, I never consulted God what he thought. And you know, she was saying, if you would do it with a Christian. But you need to be careful where and who does it. And so, but I was thinking, you know, I felt like convicted, because I felt like it was in rebellion that I did it, you know, because I wanted, God didn't take me to that verse and told me, oh, I want to seal you and go and get it done. God never told me that. I did it because I wanted. And well, immediately, of course, I told her and she prayed for me and we broke that. But what I'm trying to say is like this, chapter 4, verse 6. That's how my kids say upstairs, so I guess now I'm getting messed up. They always say the verse and then the chapter. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And then Isaiah 5:13 says something very similar. But I like how it says in the Amplified Contemporary, it says, therefore, my people go into captivity to their enemies without knowing it because they have no knowledge of God. And so that word know is to be aware, to be sure, and to understand. So that's why I thought it's very important that we know God, that we know that we are sure, that we are aware, and that we understand all that we are doing and His will for us. That's why it's so important to go through the door and pass it through Him. And so let's not perish. Actually, tell your neighbor, I won't perish. I will know. So we need to know. You know how many books we read, how many movies we watch, and we are opening doors for the devil to come in. And it says here, therefore my people go into captivity to their enemies without knowing it because they have no knowledge of God. If I had asked God, what do you think? And actually, he made me uncomfortable when I was there. But I never asked him, what do you think if I assumed that God didn't care, that I didn't need to consult. And so we need to consult God, even if it seems dumb, insignificant. Well, don't open doors. Remember, the devil is looking for cracks to get in. Como las moscas, así es. Psalm 104, verse 34. And the same says on Psalm 19:14, may my meditation be pleasing to him. So what are we meditating? What thoughts are we going around and around and let grow? Let our meditation be pleasing to him. It says in the Bible that what is outside of faith is sin, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we want our meditation to please God, we need faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. We need faith-filled thoughts and to meditate in those. And we know faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. So we need to fill our thoughts, our mind, with the Word of God and with His Spirit. Yes. Both. Remember, the devil knows the Word. And he comes dressed as an angel of light. So 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Yes. So we can overcome the world that is under Satan. We can overcome it by our faith. So his word establishes a strong foundation that cannot be moved by anything. And I wanted to go through to, but I don't think we have time, but you know, the armor of God. It says that with it, we defeat the devil. So we need to every day, you know, a soldier doesn't forget to put, well, in that time, right? He didn't, in those times, in medieval times, they didn't forget their stuff. They knew they needed, right? They knew they needed every piece of it. And we know that the helmet of salvation, we need to wear it, and we saw all that salvation means. And also the shield of faith. We were talking about faith, which with the ones we will stop the arrows from the devil. So he's going to be sending you thoughts. He's going to be sending us thoughts every day, every day, every day. We're going to get I don't know how, what the percentage would be of negative thoughts of those 80,000 thoughts that we get a day. What the percentage of negative and positive. But whatever we are filling up our mind with and our heart, that will increase our faith. So either we fill it up with the Word of God or with other things. Like I said, our ears are another door. So we need to be careful what conversations we listen to. So let's remember, let's not perish. Amen. And remember that everything that comes, we're either giving a room to the devil or we are stopping it, telling him no. Remember, we give him authority and territory, or we tell him you must flee. I'm submitted to God, I'm submitted to my leaders, and you must flee. So wow. Let's have good thoughts. It all starts with a thought. Amen. I think so, yes. So, go home and have great thoughts. Awesome thoughts. Thoughts from God. Develop those. Amen. Love you guys. Bless you and have a great rest of the week.
Yeah.